Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, bismillahi rahmani rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program, Our Islamic Beliefs. Inshallah we'll be hearing about another important topic of Aqeedah. Before we begin, let us hear an excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah ta'ala inscribes between his eyes that this person is free from the fire of hell and free from hypocrisy. And on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will keep that person amongst the shuhada, the martyrs of Islam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A topic that many people remain confused about will be discussed in today's episode. And that topic is known as Urs. Ayn, Ra, Seen, Urs. This word, when we mention it, we say Urs Mubarak, Urs Sharif. What does it actually mean? What is the maqsad of holding a gathering known as Urs? Inshallah, this and much, much more will be learnt by the end of the episode. What are the common objections against Urs? What are people confused about? What misconceptions are there? Inshallah, stay tuned to find out the answer to all of these questions. The literal meaning of Urs is marriage ceremony or happiness, an occasion of happiness and joy. And of course, in a marriage ceremony, there is great joy. There is an expression of great happiness. Now, when we say Urs, what we mean by that is the passing away of a waliullah, a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every year on the date of his passing, we commemorate his life, we remember his life, and we hold a gathering known as Urs. So, throughout history, people have always organized such gatherings. So, Urs of Ghaus-e-Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu, for example, Urs of Data Ganj Baksh rahmatullahi alayhi, Urs of Khwaja Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, Urs of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahli Sunnah radiyallahu ta'ala. So like this, whenever we commemorate the life of a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a pious predecessor, on the date of his passing, that is known as Urs. Now the question here is, Urs means happiness, on occasion of happiness, expressing joy. That's the day the Buzurg passed away. That's the day the Waliullah passed away. The brief answer to this is, when a believer passes away, a pious person passes away, their soul is liberated. And according to their status, the soul can roam free wherever it likes by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we celebrate the Urs of a pious predecessor, rahimahullah ta'ala, we're not gathered there to mourn or wail or anything like that. And in fact, when a person passes away, a believer passes away, the Sharia strictly allows for the loved ones of the deceased to show grief and sorrow for 3 days. Just 3 days. And for a widow who's lost her husband, 4 months and 10 days, she's allowed to mourn for. But generally speaking, 3 days. And after that, you're not supposed to go out of your way to show grief or express grief. And when it comes to a pious predecessor, rahimahullah ta'ala, we know that their soul is liberated. Allah Ta'ala has granted them more tasarruf, more ikhtiyar, more authority than they had in the dunya. We know that many awliya Allah, sahibul karamat, they manifest miracles, saintly miracles. And when they pass away, that power that they had increases and enhances. Allah Ta'ala intensifies that spiritual power that they have. So it's not a day to mourn, it's a day to rejoice and remember the life of that buzurg. And what do? We hold a gathering, we listen to lectures, the ulama, regarding that personality, the biographical aspects, their piety, that pious predecessors, thirst for sacred knowledge, their struggles, their endeavors, their teachings. What intention do we listen to all of this with? With the intention to try and follow in the footsteps of that pious person. Why? Because that pious person has spent their entire life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us sinners, for us weak beings, who perhaps struggle to even offer our five daily salah, who perhaps commit errors on every step we take, for us there are great lessons to be learned in the lives of the pious, the awliya Allah. On the urs, we gather in the masjid, remember the waliullah, Al-Quran al-Kareem is recited, Na'at Sharif of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recited, manqabat, odes in praise of that particular buzurg, that waliullah, are read. People, Muslims gather, there's dua, collective dua, food is provided at the end. All of these actions are preferable actions, are praiseworthy actions, are actions that lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can say that gathering in the masjid is reprehensible. Listening to lectures on a specific wali of Allah is impermissible. Nobody can say this. Nobody can say for Muslims to gather in the masjid is not allowed. Nobody can say to feed Muslims at the end is a prohibited act. In fact, this is something encouraged in the hadith. أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ Feed people. In fact, the hadith tells you that this is one of the actions that will ensure your admittance and entry into paradise with salam, with safety and peace. So, if we look at urs and this commemoration, this celebration, this mahfil that's been organized, no aspect of it can be criticized. And if the shrine of that buzurg is located nearby, meaning if you're fortunate enough to attend, for example, the urs mubarak of Ala Hazrat in Bareilly Sharif, or the urs of Data Ganj Baksh Rahmatullahi Alayh in Lahore, or the urs of Shah Abdullah Ghazi Rahimahullah in Karachi, or if you were blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attend the urs mubarak of Sayyidi Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Alayh in Baghdad-e-Mualla, Baghdad Sharif, then obviously the shrine will be there. But many people commemorate the urs, but they're not there. They're not in those cities. They may be in their own city, their hometown. They can still celebrate the urs. They can still organize the urs. But for those people who are at the very same places where the shrines are located, then the added thing that they can do is to go and recite Fatiha at the mazar, at the shrine of the Waliullah, making dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, send the rewards of this Fatiha to this Waliullah, to this saint of yours. Ya Allah, for the sake of this saint of yours, for the sake of the maqam you have granted this saint, alleviate my difficulty. So the dua is for or towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wasila of the Waliullah is being used. So there's nothing wrong with this at all. The thawab of the gathering, the thawab of Qur'an Pak, the thawab of lectures, the thawab of the food, all of this is conveyed to the soul of the Waliullah. It's given as a gift on our behalf, a token of appreciation on our behalf. Now here the objection made is, oh, but people are seen prostrating towards the shrine. That's why urs should be banned. Do not commemorate urs at all. Okay, so they overlook the fact that Muslims are gathered in the house of Allah. They overlook the fact that Muslims are reciting and listening to Al-Quran Al-Kareem. They overlook the fact that lectures are being delivered by ulama of Islam. They overlook the fact that food is being served to believers, which is a great act of reward. They overlook the fact that Isalu Thawab, Thawab is being conveyed to a Waliullah. And perhaps if they see one or two people wrongly prostrating to the grave, and this is haram, and then they'll overlook all of the right that's taking place, and they'll say, no, it's not allowed. Urs is not allowed. Why? Because I saw somebody prostrating. Now in that situation, what are you supposed to do? If you see someone doing wrong, you try and rectify that person, of course. You're not going to stop all the other acts. Let me give you a few examples. Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. When people go towards Makkah al-Mukarramah, countless examples of people committing mistakes, committing wrongdoings can be witnessed in the days of Hajj. No person on earth will say, stop the Hajj. Why? Because I saw somebody doing something wrong. That's foolishness. That's not how we look at things. Similarly, nikah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, nikah is my sunnah. And whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. In a hadith, we're told that nikah completes half your iman. So this beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the only way that a man and a woman can come together and have an intimate relationship. In Islam, this is the only way. Premarital relations are forbidden. Extramarital affairs are forbidden, prohibited, haram. And severe consequences have been mentioned in hadith for people who commit such evil. The only way to act upon your lawful desires in a permissible manner is through the act of marriage, nikah. Now today, ask yourselves, in the name of nikah, unfortunately, in the name of nikah, what sins aren't being committed? The nikah is taking place in the hall, there's intermingling. Men and women who are not mahram for each other are sitting on the same table. And the women are dressed up, many times inappropriately, immodestly, revealing their beauty completely, full on, for non-mahrams. There's music blasting in the hall. Before the nikah even, there's so many days that have been organized and they've been given specific names leading up to the nikah, which are non-Islamic practices. People are doing them. The hall, which is hired, extravagant hall, extravagant clothing, supercars are hired. This wasn't practiced by our elders, by the pious predecessors. But there are so many things have been added to this blessed, auspicious occasion of nikah, which weren't there prior. And many of those are prohibited. Sarih, explicitly haram. And I've touched upon a few of them. Inappropriate mingling, flirting even, of people who are not related, they're na-mahram for each other, music, immodesty, so many things. The list goes on. Now, because of these things, can somebody say, from this day forth, stop this practice of nikah? Of course not. That's not how you would tackle it. You would explain to people that the nikah which the Prophet ﷺ instructed is like this, free from haram. How can you expect barakah and blessings in your marriage when you initiate it with acts that are prohibited? So you'll try to educate people, you'll try to rectify people and tell them that this should be cut out. Stick to the Islamic way of nikah. Similarly, when we commemorate the urs of a pious predecessor, rahimahullah ta'ala, if 10 right things are taking place and one wrong thing is taking place, we will try to rectify those who are committing that one wrongdoing. if they're prostrating to the grave, it's haram. And if it's with the intention of ibadah, that they're prostrating towards the shrine of a saint, it's kufr. But we won't know until the person himself makes his niyyah apparent. But anyhow, this is something that's prohibited, no doubt. Sajdatul ta'zeem, prostrating towards anyone out of honor and reverence, is haram. So if we see that taking place at an Urs Mubarak, what do? We try to rectify that person using wisdom, using beautiful words, in such a way that the person actually ends up understanding the error of his ways. We don't want to rebuke that person in such a way that a quarrel emerges. There's a fight taking place. So people who object, their objections are baseless. And if there is something wrong, we cut out that wrong. We stamp out that wrong. We don't completely stop the act. Because this is Isalu Thawab, this is presenting Thawab to the soul of that pious predecessor, that saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what takes place at an Urs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his blessed sunnah to visit the people of Uhud once a year. This is documented. He would visit the martyrs of Uhud. And he would of course pray for them as well. And here, some people don't understand. I don't know whether it's arrogance or ignorance or what the issue is. They say, oh, people who've died, that's it, you can't benefit them. They've gone from this world. You are to answer for your own actions. You can only act for yourself. You can't convey rewards to anyone. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visit the people of Uhud, the martyrs of Uhud? Why did he make dua for them? Why do we make dua in every namaz? In At-Tahiyyat, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive my parents, and forgive all the believers on the day of accountability, when people will stand for accountability, the day of judgment. Someone might answer, oh, it's in the Quran, this dua is in the Quran. Okay, the dua is in the Quran, but what is the dua saying? It's saying that you are to pray, was instructing you to pray for yourself and others, your parents and believers. So where does that concept all of a sudden go, that you can't pray for anyone else? If you want to apply that, apply it everywhere. But the Quran is telling us to pray for our parents. They may be deceased. Many people's parents are deceased. But they're praying for them in namaz. The believers are being prayed for. Many believers have passed. Many believers are yet to come. So this concept of Isalu Thawab is a valid concept. It's allowed. And it's practiced throughout the ages. Once Sayyiduna Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala, companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, my mother's passed away. What sadaqah is afdal? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ma' water. So what did Sayyiduna Sa'ad radiallahu anhu do? He had a well dug and said, هذه لأم سعد. This well is for the mother of Sa'ad. He attributed that well to the mother of Sa'ad. What does that mean? People who will come and drink water from that well, people who will quench their thirst and take benefit from the water of that well, the reward will go to whom? The mother of Sa'ad. Isalu thawab, conveying of reward, sending of reward. So who said you can't benefit others? This deen of Islam is so beautiful that when our loved ones pass away in the state of Iman, we can still benefit them. And truth be told, if we have a habit of doing that today, then inshaAllah al-Aziz, long after we're gone, we have hope in the mercy of Allah that He will place it in the hearts of people to do the same for us. Because we would send rewards to our loved ones, to our fellow believers as well. I like this, there's countless other examples throughout the history of Islam where people would convey rewards to others. One sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother has passed away and if she had lived, she would have carried out acts of charity, sadaqah. Now if I would do that on her behalf now, will that reward reach her? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam, yes, that reward will reach her. There is no issue with commemorating the Urs of a Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's commendable, it's praiseworthy, and it's a rewarding act. As for claiming that when we celebrate Urs, when we commemorate the Urs of a Wali of Allah, we're committing shirk, ma'azallah, that's a massive claim. Think about it. Such people who are quick to say these things regarding believers, that oh, so-and-so act is shirk, so-and-so is involved in celebrating Urs, or so-and-so is involved in celebrating Milad Sharif of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mawlidun Nabi, oh, it's shirk. If you ask them the basic definition of shirk, they won't be able to answer, unfortunately. Yet the claim is massive. That person is calling another believer a mushrik, a polytheist. Now shirk is what? Shirk is when you consider another being besides Allah to be worthy of worship. If someone says Allah is worthy of worship, and there is another being worthy of worship, that's shirk. Do Muslims believe a waliullah in his mazar is worthy of worship? Of course not. Astaghfirullah. Do Muslims believe that the waliullah in the mazar, who is resting, who is a created being, who has passed away, has sifat like the sifat of Allah, which are qadim, which are pre-eternal? Of course not. Who believes this? Does a believer think that the waliullah in the mazar, his af'al and his ahkam are like the af'al and ahkam of Allah? Are like the asma of Allah? Of course not. So, we have to be very careful when it comes to labeling people, categorizing people. They're mushriks, they do this, they do this. They're bid'atis, they do this. Go into the depth of the matter. Tahqiq, look into what belief that person is holding when he's celebrating Urs. Look into his aqidah regarding a topic. And don't just try to blanket takfir of the Muslims and say they're kuffar, they're disbelievers. Because a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that if someone says to a believer that he's a disbeliever, but that isn't the case, then that fatwa returns to the one who said it. So a person is putting his own iman in danger by making such claims, gross claims and unsubstantiated claims. You can't back them up. After this lecture on the topic of Urs, no objection can remain. We believe that Sahibul Qabr is a creation of Allah. We believe he's muqarrab ila Allah, he's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believed and spent his entire life expressing piety. Allah ta'ala himself is saying, for such people is glad tiding in this world and in the akhirah. So this is why we venerate them, this is why we respect them, because they are our forerunners, they are our pious predecessors, they are the saliheen, and their lives are an inspiration for us if we want to achieve the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. We don't do sajda to a mazar, we don't do dua directly to the waliullah. We use the wasila of the waliullah, the maqam that Allah has granted that waliullah, we use that as a wasila in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is to Allah, ibadat is for Allah, tilawati Quran is for Allah. Every act is for Allah. And then we say, Ya Allah, the thawab that you will grant us for these acts, we would like to present as a token of appreciation, as a gift to the court of this waliullah. Because Allah Ta'ala is not in need of reward. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is not muhtaj, dependent upon anything. The reward Allah will give us, and we are saying, Ya Allah, we would like to present this reward to this waliullah whose urs we're commemorating. So hopefully, inshallah, in this episode, a lot of confusions have been removed, misconceptions have been clarified. This is a rewardable act, celebrating the urs mubarak of a waliullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to spend our lives serving the deen, studying the deen, learning the deen, acting upon the deen, and in our final moments, reciting the kalima shahada of the deen of Islam. Ameen, bijahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Our Islamic beliefs, in our Islamic beliefs, we find our way. Guided by faith, we kneel and pray each day. Guided by faith, we